I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built for Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Rough night at Citi Field last night, but the belief is still there. And yeah, I'm a little concerned. I'm a little frustrated with the way that the game was played, but in no way am I saying this is over. And I was wrong about this team so much. I'm not here to trash the players this morning. I'm annoyed that Francisco Alvarez is in the slump that he's in, but you know, Carlos Mendoza is going to stick with him, and how that decision works out is going to be a huge talking point. How this lineup performs is going to be a huge talking point. If it were me, you know, I really need to know how important that Quintana-Alvarez relationship is, which I don't know, in how Quintana is going to pitch. But if it were me, and you can give me reverse splits all you want, it's a Winker day. I want to see Jesse Winker. I want that energy in the lineup. And I was also like to see Francisco Alvarez get a breather. And I know Luis Torrens is Luis Torrens. And it's not like putting Mike Piazza back there in 1999 or 2000. I get it. But Alvarez is an automatic out. And he has come up in so many chances, less than two outs, runner on third, strikeout, pop up, cannot get the run home. And I at least want to put someone in there that has a shot. But Carlos Mendoza is going to stick with him. And as we mentioned earlier, you could not write the script. Howie Rosa said it in his calls, storyline, everything, magic. And it would just be so fitting for Francisco Alvarez to be the guy tonight, like Pete Alonso was in Milwaukee, or this Mets offense to pound on Yamamoto after he spurned the Mets in the offseason. It's just another chapter, another layer. You could just feel something special still existing in this team, and you got to win. You can't expect to win three straight against the Dodgers when you're down 3-1. So this is it, man. This is it.
It is it.
It's it.
And it is important for you to stabilize yourself.
I think I'm stabilized.
As we go through this, and you know, tonight, I'm sure you'll text me again.
Because, you know what? I'm not going to.
Yeah, good, please.
I'm not going to. Because you know what? It's hypocritical of me to do that. Because I get on you for texting Ron Darling all the time and bothering him. Yeah. And here I am bothering you. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, but Ron's actually working the game.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'll text back and forth with my mother, who's the biggest Mets fan I know. She's crazy. She was wearing her John Franco 45 jersey last night. She sent me a picture, but I don't like to text her the negative stuff.
Does she wear anything else but the jersey? Or is
just... just the jersey, right? Just the jersey. No, I don't like to text her the negative stuff because I want to keep it positive there.
So, she's watching right now, listening to you. You're going through a meltdown.
So you get the negative stuff. Someone needs to get the negative stuff.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here to absorb it.
Absorb.
I'm absorbing.
Like a sponge. I feel stabilized.
All right.
I feel stable.
Good. I mean, you got it off your chest. We all know exactly what's going on. You got to give the Dodgers a lot of credit, as you know, many callers have said this morning. Their deep lineup and their pitching has been better than we thought it was going to be. But again, like last night, Buehler had 90 pitches in four innings. He had traffic on the base all night long.
Yeah. He got that strikeout when he needed to.
And he got the double play when he needed it.
Let's go to Phil. He's calling from Staten Island. What's going on, Phil?
Good morning, guys. How you doing, man?
All righty, Phil. What's Boomer. Happening?
Boomer, hear me out a minute. Loyalty is good, but Mendoza's bordering on negligence. I'll tell you why. He has tempted fate a couple times already. When he brought Diaz in the clincher, he almost blew that. And then by starting Senga. At some point, if you're running a family, you got to do what's right for your team and your family. I mean, Alvarez should have sat yesterday, honestly. I've been telling everybody who would listen that he had a stick. Basically, by putting Torrent in, you're not losing anything defensively. You may be gaining stuff. And Alvarez killed you yesterday defensively. And second of all, you might get a hit in it. And Alvarez clears his head. And he comes back today. Second of all, J.B. Martinez, why is he in the game? Winker's got great numbers against Bueller. Why is he not playing?
Yeah.
You got to stop with this loyalty stuff. I mean, this is negligence at this point. And this guy's tempting fate, and it finally finds going to catch up. I hope it doesn't, but it will.
Yeah, I mean,
The one thing I want to say here also is that just remember, this is not just about Carlos Mendoza. Yeah, he's the guy that gives the post-game press conference. He's the guy that gives the pre-game press conference. He's the guy that gives the interview during the game. I mean, like, it's just they never, ever shut up because they always are talking, the managers. And, you know, it drives me crazy because they talk way too much. But that's their responsibility. It's not because that's who he is. It's just that's the responsibility of the manager in Major League Baseball is to constantly talk to the media. And it's and he says things that I think are publicly is what you want to hear from your manager. If you are playing for Carlos Mendoza, you love that guy. You want to play for that guy. You want to go through a wall for that guy.
Yeah.
Because he has stood up for you since day one. Hey, man, like the way this season started and the way that we all looked at this team back in May and June, we were like, oh, you know, they got a rookie manager. He's sticking with this guy. They're sitting bringing that guy. And by the way, when they signed J.D. Martinez at the beginning of the year, everybody was happy. Because they finally brought in what they felt like, what we all felt like was going to be a guy that was going to be the solid DH that we hadn't had.
Yeah, this argument's a good argument because both sides have very, very valid points.
I know. And, but listen, it's organizational is what I was saying.
Yeah,
it's not just Carlos Mendoza.
And I don't want to, even though I would sit Alvarez, I don't want to discount what he means to this pitching staff. Like, the Mets had, you know, going into this series, we felt like they had an advantage with the starting pitchers. You know, these guys, those top three guys have been amazing. And that catcher means a lot to them. So, like, even though we're not seeing that show up in the box score, the comfortability that they have, you know, with the catcher is a huge deal. But yeah. I would still sit him because he doesn't have a chance.
But that second inning was a disaster. And it started with the walk. Then it was a nubber.
Nubber.
And then 22-year-old not thinking things through because he hasn't been in this situation at all gets up and thinks he can make like a Johnny Bench type throw.
And you see, he like didn't commit to it at first. It was like sort of like a vroom vroom. Like he wasn't fully committed to second base.
But he's not Johnny Bench yet. He's not even close to being that. But he's just a kid, man.
I mean, he's Charlie O'Brien yet.
I know, but he's
Ron Hodges.
All right, everybody, just calm down. I mean, like he's a 22-year-old kid, man.
He's like
he's in the biggest
Nito
moment
yet.
In Duffy his died. Life.
Mackie Sasser.
Oh God.
All right. Well, all right. I know that you're.
Sometimes it's very frustrating to talk to you people.
I know that you agree with Mendoza sticking with his guys, but would you, as the manager, do the same thing?
If I had spent the entire year with these guys and they have delivered for me, the manager, and I've been blessed with their timely hitting when we needed it the most, and now we're playing a machine, the Dodgers, I'm not panicking. I'm sticking with what has gotten me here. And I know that it's hard for the average fan to really understand the loyalties that are in those locker rooms. Especially when a team is winning. When a team is losing, it's a little bit different. You know, we're seeing that with the Jets, by the way. Mm-hmm. You lose, things come apart at the seams, and even the great Troy Aikman says there's a really good chance this thing can unravel.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, but this is not what's going on here. This is a winning team that is at a point that nobody expected them to be here. And that manager, yeah, while being a rookie, he has been around baseball his entire life. His entire adult life, he's a baseball man. And he knows, you know, what buttons to push. And I'm not going to question him now against a great team like the Dodgers.
I know. And it's that's a big part of it, that you have to trust them. Now, I trusted them with Senga. It didn't really work out the second time around. It has to get to a point. Like, I am with you on everything you said, but, like, you know it and I know it. When Francisco Alvarez is up, nothing's going to happen.
Adam Bunt.
Like, it's just right. It's gotten to that point. Now, I just got done saying it would be very Metian of 2024, Metsian of 2024 for him to be the hero tonight.
I speak for all Met fans. We love the kid. We want the kid to be great, and we want him to be here for the next 10 years. And I feel the same way about him right now as I felt about Pete Alonso going into the playoffs.
I feel worse about Alvarez right now, because Alonso would at least look like he had a shot, and Alvarez just doesn't. I mean, and then he decided to just, he's like, okay, let me just swing at everything. And first pitch, pop-up, strikeout. And then he decided, let me just take strikes and now take three, you know, backwards Ks.
Yeah, he's locked up, man. We understand he's in a major slump, man. And those of us who, and you yourself, have been a baseball player, you've been a baseball fan your entire life, and you've seen a lot of players go through this. And it's excruciating.
Yeah, and it's also another thing that concerns me is, you know, Mendoza and his teammates are like, dude, hey, be you. Go out there, relax, deep breath. You're going to be fine. You're grinding that bat into sawdust. You're going to be okay. And his first at bat, his first swing, whoosh! Bat flame. It would have killed somebody if there wasn't a netting.
Right. I have to say that I actually laughed at that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I had a smile on my face when I saw that. I mean, what else could go wrong for this
poor
kid?
It's unbelievable. You think of that first at bat, he's going to be in there. I'd take a pitch, deep breath. Nope. Whoa! Dude. Chill out!
He was trying to hit it into LaGuardia Airport.
Chill out! Let's go to Mike in Westbury. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. I don't know if you saw this last night as well. It's not only his inability to hit a pitch, it's his inability to frame a pitch. He is the worst. He doesn't come from the outside in to pull into the strike. It's like he goes outside to catch it and then pulls it into the strike zone. It's mind-boggling. Are there coaches that can teach this to him?
Yeah, I do notice it's a little, and the best catcher,
he moves around a lot.
Yes,
he's a mover. Right, he likes to get down like Manny Sanguian, if you remember him.
Yeah, the Pirates,
he was all over the place. Yeah. But the one thing about Manny Sanguian, when he had his leg out there, that glove was stuck right there over the plate.
Right. Now, I didn't see him play, but I did meet him a number of times.
Oh, he's so much fun watching that guy play catcher.
He was such a good guy. I don't know if he's still alive, but he was around the Pirates when I was there, and he was just tremendous. I did kind of notice that, but he's just this big ball of energy that's not working.
Yeah, I know, but he's got a lot of energy. Francisco Alvarez has got a lot of that in him. That's who he is. He's a little bit of a showman behind the plate, which unfortunately is distracting, and sometimes sometimes I think that there are strikes that should be called that don't get called because of some of the stuff that he does. Yeah, I would say that, but, you know, he's a young kid, man.
Let's go to Mike in Belmar.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right, Mike. What's happening, brother?
So, trying to get the mojo going good for you now, G. First of all, I'm with Boomer 100%. Mendoza has been unbelievable on this run. You got to trust the guy. He's been pulling the right strings. He's had them on this magical run. You got to keep trusting the guy as he goes. But on to bigger and better things. So I know Recco pretty well. Boom, I drove you. I was Cowher's driver at the Super Bowl back in 2009. I drove you around Miami when you're
I remember you're driving, you, Mike. Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Dean's well, brother. Thanks for the Dean's call.
Brother. Yeah. So anyway, since your plans got fouled up, I'm also I coach golf, and I coach actually coach Chris Hannon, who you guys had in your group a couple weeks ago.
What a great kid he is, man. That kid is a great kid.
He's a senior. He's going to be a senior on my golf team this year, but I'm not going to say the course, but I could get you guys on a great course on Tuesday, which is will be a half-hour ride for you, Boom.
All right,
we'll have MetLife afterwards.
Hey, Mike, I'll have Jerry contact you. He's got your number, right?
He does. He does. And I've got golf balls for you, hats, all that.
I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks, but we'll be in touch.
I very much appreciate it.
Yes, and that Chris Hannon, man, what a great kid that.
And people want to help us out.
Yes.
It's amazing. You know, they want to lift up our spirits, just like we want to lift up the spirits of the New York Mets.
I'm trying to lift up everybody's spirits this morning.
We're lifting up spirits here.
You're not lifting up anybody's spirits.
I'm trying.
No, you're not.
I'm trying.
No, you're not.
I'm trying.
You're emptying your bag of emotional balls all over us.
I'm telling you that it could be much, much worse. Trust me. I'm getting it out now. I've told you that I still believe that they're going to win this game, and I'm not going to see an elimination situation. It's going to be 2-2, even though there's bad juju and we got people taken off and all sorts of stuff. We'll be all right. We're coming here 2-2 tomorrow. All right, happy. I'm not being
No, I don't like that because
what do you mean? Totally, I was right about it last time.
No, I know, but I'm not.
There's no winning with you.
No, time out. That's so disingenuous what you just said.
What do you mean?
Are you happy? Are you happy? Like, what is that? It's like we're arguing and, like, are you happy now? I'm like, no, I'm not happy when you say, are you happy now? Like, snarky like that. I mean, like, you can't be snarky.
I'm just saying.
You're
telling me I'm too negative. I'm not too negative. I'm just concerned. It's all.
You came in with an emotional bag of balls this morning, and you've been tossing them at me. Like all morning long, in between the breaks, on the air.
I know.
And I want to just stop already.
I know. Hey, I think I'm doing better than I was at 6 o'clock.
No, there's no question you are doing better than you are at 6 o'clock. I mean, how many more emotional balls do you have in that bag of yours?
We'll see. We've got another hour and 40 minutes. By the way, Manny Sanguine's still alive, 80.
Great. Manny Sanguine, even though he played for the Pirates. But he was like a showman behind the plate, man.
Want to get him on? Talk about how we get Francisco Alvarez out of the slump?
I don't remember him as being a great hitter. I remember him.
296 average career. What
did he have a 296?
Yeah.
I remember him because of the way he played behind the plate. If you remember, his stance and everything and how he would get down really low.
Yeah. A lot of move in pre-pitch.
Yes.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I just got a call on the break from Karen Carson in the morning and Johnny Minge.
You should have heard this in her
and intern Anthony, you know, and that Minge, he was trying to drag me into the black hole of Mets history, and I'm just not.
You know what? They should change his name to like Johnny Nudge. He's like a nudge. You know, like every time I see him in the elevator, I want to give him a nookie.
Yeah, but he is, he's good at what he does, man. He's great at social
media.
Good.
They're very good up
and
there.
He's an antagonist and an instigator.
Yeah, but listening to you NARPs discuss this whole thing was just like amazing to me.
Yeah. Well, a lot of things all the time.
Yeah,
you know?
I do. But yeah, but when
they were extra NARPian.
It's just that there's a negativity that's associated with losing, and I get it, but you got to overcome it. And the Mets overcame it in game 2. Hopefully they'll overcome it in game 4.
Yeah, and I think that I really do believe that they will. And by the time we get to 8:08, you're going to expect them to win. It's going to sit down and expect them to win. All right, Jerry, what's happening, man?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We are also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. The capper last night at Citi Field.
1-1 to Muncy. Swung on, hit deep to right field. Back goes Marte. This ball's on the way, and it is gone. Into the first couple of rows of the Coca-Cola corner, a home run for Max Muncy.
Love the way he just sat there and gazed at it, which is pretty cool. 8-0 was the
kind
final
of what
last
Jesse
night.
Winker did when he hit a home run.
Yeah.
He sat there and looked at it.
Yeah, just admired his shot. Is she crying?
Yes, no. She's crying.
No, she's not. You know what? She's just cold. We're watching
just glassy
on TV.
She's not crying.
She's crying.
She's not crying.
She was crying.
You can't cry.
I think she was crying.
No.
Well, a lot of Met fans were because they lost 8-0. LA scored a couple of runs in the second. Then you had the home runs from Hernandez, Otani, and then obviously Max Muncy.
Maybe she has the same problem that Jazz Chisholm has. It's cold out. Looks like he's crying in the batter's box. Remember, he had the watery eyes the other night?
Dry eyes.
That's what happens.
The cold breeze and you start to tear up.
That's what happens?
I guess. I don't know.
That was a thing.
I thought that's what you were explaining.
Yeah. I don't know what it's called. You said dry eyes.
Dry eyes.
Is that what it's called?
Seems to make sense.
Yeah. I mean.
So maybe she had dry eyes.
Yeah.
And it's cold
that,
and
that
then
became
she
became wet.
Yeah, I don't understand that. If you have dry eyes.
And moist eyes. I have no idea.
You're saying, well.
I don't know.
You sounded like you know what you were talking about.
I was trying to come up with an explanation for what could have been.
You don't have to come up with an explanation.
Well, you were kind of twisting in the wind there, so I was kind of helping.
Twisting anything. I was just saying, hey, look, man, why was Jazz Chisholm's eyes running the other night?
Right, so I tried to give you an answer.
And you just said, because he has dry eye?
Well, if he's not crying, what else would it be?
You know, when I yawn a lot, I sometimes get tears.
Do you?
Yeah. That ever happened to you? No?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Eddie. Someone backing me up there.
Right, Eddie?
Yeah.
Not for yawning.
Like a tear going, are you crying? I'm like, no, I'm just yawning. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Like in the 9 o'clock hour, boom, do your eyes get...
God.
So anyway.
Yes.
Here's Carlos Mendoza. No shock. They put up 8 runs. That Dodgers lineup, pretty damn good.
They control the strike zone. They're not going to chase as much. They don't have guys there that chase as much. And then they can hit the ball out of the ballpark. They can get on base.
Yeah, they can do it all pretty much. Here's Dave Roberts. Otani is one of those guys. That home run, never know, could catch fire now.
It's important for Shohei, certainly, to build some confidence. I think that's number one. And number two, yeah, you mentioned, Mike, when you're in a long series, kind of not having to have Blake go back out there for another inning.
Talking about Blake Trinan and the bullpen and all that. And they're making a – I saw this on social media when he points to the dugout. I guess they're – I don't know. They're saying maybe they're tipping – I don't know. But there was something going on that maybe they're seeing something from the Met pitching. Who knows? Here was Francisco Lindor.
Yeah,
you can,
balls. That's what they're seeing on the Met pitching.
You can say what you want. We need to play.
89-mile-an-hour ball right down the middle of the plate. I mean, you know, at this point, you're saying to McGill, just throw strikes. Isn't that what we always say?
Yeah.
Just throw strikes. Just don't walk, guys. All right, well, we're throwing strikes. And
how did Recco turn into Rello?
Well, it's an easy answer, actually. So anyway, Evan Roberts did his Rico Bronya podcast. Oh. From the time of when it was uploaded, it looks like right around 1 a.m., is when he did this, so the start of the show.
Another ass whooping. Another big fat ass whooping. How we doing? Rico Bronya, late night edition.
Yeah, and he says the real issue tonight.
Let's not lose sight over the fact that the New York Mets got shut out by Walker Buehler and 4 of his dopey friends.
The bullpen, which was pretty good, as
the
they locked down.
Been good all year.
Yes, absolutely. Their second shutout. Although the one time out of the three, the Mets really got them early was that bullpen game.
That was Knack.
So, what?
They got after Knack.
They got after Knack. Yes, exactly. So Mets left the bases loaded in the second inning. Alvarez and Lindor the strikeouts.
That's the guy with the chubby cheeks.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Remember they had that
slum like
over him?
Getting ready for winter.
Yes.
Tonight, game 4, Jose Quintana against Yoshinobu Yamamoto in Cleveland. The Yankees and Guardians pick things up. New York up 2-0. Clark Schmidt goes for the Yanks. Matthew Boyd goes for the Guardians. Boyd 2-2, 2.72 ERA this year, coming back from Tommy John surgery. So it's been tough, you know, working his way back, the rehab, all those dark days. And this was before his start in the ALDS. Just you talk about what it means to him.
Just gratitude. It's what, like, you know, all those days. Man, you're making me cry. I don't know why.
I'm just yawning, I swear.
I don't know.
What is that? What is that?
He was emotional from his journey back from Tommy John surgery, all those tough, dark rehab days by himself. And it means a lot now. Here he is in October pitching this again. This was last week before he pitched against the Tigers.
Now he's doing it again.
No. I said this was before.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
I love all of you guys. And then lastly, thank you. This is unbelievable.
Just trying to show how much it means to these guys. That's
all. You know what?
And this is a big start tonight.
You know, I know he... the Chris Carlin thing is very funny, and he was very emotional, and I knew he loved this place. And you know, just watching you guys fight out there on Hudson Street showed me the passion that you both had for WFAN and the people you work with.
Yeah, that was his SNY sign off, and he was very passionate about this place too. The best part about that fight to me was that he had just gone to the Starbucks that used to be here.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was screaming at me with this giant venti thing with
Frappuccino.
Whipped cream all on the top of it and a giant green straw sticking out of it. Like, hey! A-hole! Get over here! Like whipped cream on the side of his face.
Where's Gio? I'll punch him out right now.
I had to tell my Uber driver to hold on for a sec. I got to see this. I got to see these two heavyweights.
And not intervene.
I mean, think about what's happened around our area here. We lost the Starbucks. We lost the Hudson Pharmacy.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, like, everything's gone.
Pret a Manger, whatever the hell it was called, across the street. Gone.
Oh, we still got Mama.
All the parking out front.
That yeah, too. Everything.
The entrance.
What is going on?
The guy who lived here.
Yeah.
Right. Sign guy, yeah.
Yeah. We've lost everything.
The entrance.
That's something to get emotional
that
over.
That is true. That's the best. The entrance to the building has also been lost.
You do all jokes aside, when you decide that that's a career in 8 more years, do you think a little emotional? Or is it, I'm serious. Or is it going to be like, guys, today was my last day. See ya.
I just spent 22 years with NFL Today at CBS. Wasn't emotional. I mean, I miss everybody. They were great people to work with, but I'm not. Like,
yes, but no, that's different, though.
Maybe it's just the athlete in me. You know, when you get traded or you sign as a free agent, you move, you get, you know, with another team and you have other distractions in your life. I mean, that's the way I've always handled it.
But that wasn't every day.
No, that's true. That's right. This is every day.
And especially if there's a final day, retirement day, and you're walking out for the last time knowing that
that's it. Will not be a retirement day.
So it'll just be, by the way, today was my last day.
Yes,
guys, so.
Exactly. See ya.
All right. Interesting.
Just picturing all everybody.
We'll be crying.
Churn off in a wheelchair.
And every salesperson.
False.
Still asking you about products. As you're leaving on your last day. Hey, do you have a relationship with Breitling?
Here's 18 shirts for you.
Oh, boy. All right, week 7 tonight, NFL, Saints and Broncos, Giants, Eagles.
Saints and Broncos, man. Is right. I mean, I know the Sean Payton's return, to New Orleans. No Chris Olave, no Rashid Shaheed, regardless of what the FanDuel reads say.
Yes, they are both out, that is for sure. The Giants have all sorts of injury issues as well, of course. But it does look like Brian Burns is good to go. I think Malik Nabers is going to play.
He's got to be. He's practicing. Come on, let's go.
Right. They haven't said it definitively.
Did they
say
anything about left
like
tackle, Jerry?
They've said a lot, and Brian Daboll says he'll let us know basically Friday what they're doing. All options are on the table right now, including moving Illuminor over, promoting guys, so we shall. Evan Neal's name did come up, yes. So we shall see. You've got just one quick one on the Jets. I bring you the great Chris Russo, who looks at this team in a way that others might or might not.
There's no chemistry with the Jets whatsoever. They're out of sync. They're discombobulated.
Discombobulated.
So yeah, that was on Sirius XM.
It's every day.
It seems like it, yes.
Every day.
It really is amazing.
It's probably every sentence.
Yeah.
I actually feel like he does that on purpose sometimes.
No.
Discombobulated.
I do not think he does. No. Nope.
I think he talks so fast that sometimes, you know, and we all make mistakes. We all know that. But, I mean, he talks so fast, so many, like, every day of the week.
Yeah.
And then he's got to go over there and scream with Stephen A.
That's true.
He's got to do this and that. I mean, he's got a million things going on.
That is true. Matter of fact, I forgot to do it. I'll try and do it for next hour on his ESPN show yesterday while he was trying to kill.
I love how you characterize it on his ESPN show, not on Stephen A.'s.
All right. All right.
That's good, because I think Mad Dog has brought a lot to that.
You're right. On whoever's it is, First Take, he was talking and he was killing Tony Romo for being inaccurate about a couple of things being inaccurate about two or three things himself. So I'll try and edit that for next hour. Game 3 WNBA Finals last night. The Liberty beat the Lynx 80-77. A long three with a couple of seconds to go by Sabrina Ionescu.
Sabrina Ionescu.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Ionescu.
Yes. Brianna Stewart, by the way, had 30.
Yeah, it was characterized as the greatest shot in New York basketball history.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Peter Schwartz said. Peter Schwartz said that it was bigger than the LJ four-point play.
Power to him. Whatever.
NHL tonight, the Rangers in Detroit.
How about Willis Reed coming out in the 69 Game 7 championship and hitting his first two shots? How about that?
Yeah.
Starts
jamming. How about Jordan? Yeah. That's another one.
Go on and on. How about a free throw from Pablo Prigioni? I mean, anything that the Knicks have done bigger than that.
And the Devils play in Ottawa tonight.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's been all Mets throughout the show, and we'll get back into it at 9 o'clock. But, of course, Mike Williams not showing up to practice yesterday for personal reasons. We know Devontae Adams is with the Jets now. We know what Aaron Rodgers said after the loss to the Bills, and he's going to either get traded or released. So that's the last you're going to see of him. It was pretty obvious once Aaron Rodgers said what he said, that he was going to be gone. And then it became even more evident when Devontae Adams popped up in the back of that Zoom on the Pat McAfee show. So,
yeah, I'm sure Mike Williams is not happy about any of this, and I don't blame him. And it's one of the reasons why, you got to be careful what you say and how you say it. And I don't want to tell Aaron Rodgers what to do, but it was shocking that he basically said, you got to be on the red line, and he wasn't on the red line, and I threw it there. And I was like, wow, hold on for a sec. And it was interesting because yesterday I was driving back from, playing golf, and I was listening to NFL radios. My buddy Pat Kerwin was on with Jim Miller, and they were just talking about, and Pat was talking about how he knows a number of quarterbacks that have run receivers off because they didn't like who they were, any of that stuff. Yeah. But nobody's ever really done it, publicly. I mean, it's you go in the front office and say, I can't play with this guy. He doesn't know the offense. And normally you may do that like with a rookie. Like I could see, let's say Aaron Rodgers was playing with Kadarius Toney or Patrick Mahomes was playing with Kadarius Toney, and maybe he didn't know what he was doing or he was dropping the ball and you felt like he was a flake on the practice field. Maybe you then go into the coach and say, hey, look, man, I don't trust this guy. I don't want to play with him. And you got to get this guy out of here. I totally get. And I would imagine that Peyton Manning has done that and Tom Brady has done that. And, according to Pat Kerwin, a number of other players have done that. And I totally understand all that. But to do it the way that Aaron did it publicly, and then the way that, again, you got to remember, we're going to react to it as a media entity. We're going to react to it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to bring it out, and we're going to say, I can't believe this happened. And then the media is going to take it and run with it. And then you got to remember, Mike Williams has got a family. He's got an agent. He's got friends. He's got people he's played with. And this isn't some fly-by-night rookie. This is a 30-year-old established wide receiver in the NFL who's had some really great moments.
Yeah.
And there's a respect factor that is afforded to a guy that is coming off of a knee injury. You have to take all of that into account.
Well, Aaron Rodgers did not. Well, and then he doubled down on McAfee, too. He didn't even say, hey, I shouldn't have said that about Mike.
And it's great to see Devontae and Aaron Rodgers back together. And I wanted to see it back in August and thought maybe September. And now all of a sudden here we are with 11 weeks to go in their season. And, it's go time now all of a sudden as we were having fun with this yesterday. And I lauded the Jets for going after Aaron and getting him here in the first place. It feels like he's been here for 20 years.
Yeah.
And he's only played 6 games.
So when Mike Williams gets traded or cut, Devontae Adams is here. Alan Lazard is here. Randall Cobb was here. All this stuff. Rob Saleh, who he didn't respect and didn't like, got fired. But we're to believe that he had nothing to do with that. Like, okay, stop it.
I don't know if he did or he didn't like him. I don't know. I have no idea internally where the pressure was coming from. Woody Johnson and Christopher Johnson are in there every day. They're the ones that are hearing what's happening behind the scenes, and they reacted to what they thought was the right thing to do, whether Bill Belichick likes it or not. I mean, he is the owner, and he has the right to make a decision to try to save the season.
And, you know, to relieve some of the pressure and maybe kind of redirect the team in a certain way, I think is what Woody's intentions are here, and to hopefully get the best out of him. But, you know, I think that was a major mistake, what Aaron did publicly. I really do. I mean, because now if you're covering this team, like you're Rich Cimini, you're Mark Canizzaro, you can now go up to Aaron Rodgers and ask him about any specific play and about what happened on that play. And is Aaron going to be pointing out everybody else? Issues? Now, Aaron has taken responsibility that he hasn't played. Well, I've heard all that. And then I heard him say that to Pat McAfee. But that doesn't excuse throwing a teammate out there under the bus like the way he did to Mike Williams.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.